Yes?
Secretary Ball calling you, you are 90.
George Ball, line 90.
Yes? Yes?
Hello?
Hello?
Where?
Mr. President, this is George Ball.
Yes?
You've probably seen the telegrams indicating that this Salinger channel has blown up, that the Russians have backed away from it.
I just knew that it had these two things, but I didn't know anything about it.
Well, there's been a further talk, which is reported this morning, and that the Russians told Salinger that they'd reconsidered and didn't want to continue any discussions through that channel. Our guess is that they had a talk with the North Vietnamese ambassador in Moscow, and cold water was thrown on it. Now, I've got to advise Dean this morning as to what we suggest on any talks with Gromyko, because in the dinner that he had with Gromyko last night, there were other foreign ministers present, and Gromyko didn't show any particular desire to get him aside or to talk about the Vietnamese situation. Dean raises the question as if he has no mention of this with Gromyko, that there's a public relations problem, and people will ask whether the question was raised or not. And I would propose, if you think well of it, to send this telegram to him. If you collapse Salinger Channel, recommends you have casual conversation with Gromyko, adequate to enable you to say that something was mentioned. This would leave the option to Gromyko to engage you in more extended discussion if he wished to do so, but would not indicate over-anxiety on our side.
The subject of the Salinger conference or of our pause?
No, of the whole cold South Vietnamese question. This is in response to his telegram. Say that South Vietnamese problem was mentioned.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right.
Now, I think that we ought to pursue this economic problem down there a good deal further. I'm sorry I didn't suggest that Tony go back with him, but I think you ought to call in Gowd and Tony and any others that are expert. I'd even consider sending a new Clay. Whatever develops down there, we're going to have to feed those people, and we're going to have to do a masterful aid job. I think its state is terribly derelict in our press there. I'm afraid that there's not much could be done about it. But from the contacts I have, they tell me that mediocrity and below-level briefings are very, very prevalent, and we ought to have the best man we've got in the world there like they do. They put their Schultzes in, and their Kurzmans in, and the Hellraisers in, and they just publish their line, just 100%, and they hold up at our place, and we take care of them, and then they publish their line. Now, there ought to be some way for Greenfield or somebody on something like this to either have a top associate or go in himself for 2 or 3 days with those folks that he knows so well.
Well, Rowan would be the fellow who handles the, it's his press man who's down there with the embassy, and let me get hold of him and see if we can't get an absolutely top fellow down.
Well, now, you know, they feel very touchy about the USIA briefings.
Yeah.
I rather think it's a mistake, too, myself, to, I don't want to say so, but I think that USIA is regarded as a propaganda organization, and that's its purpose. And when you go to doing it, why, although Zorathan is the best man we've got, and all of them regard him highly, nevertheless, they're bitching. I've got a 4-page letter last night from a UP that I've got to send over to McNamara, and they send it to the heads of the UP bureaus. And I had lunch with the UP head and the AP head this week, and they all bitching. But the USIA is bad to be doing these briefings. Now, is there no reason that we could, since we've got the Kurzmans, and since we've got the Schultzes, and since we've got the Washington State Department crowd in there like a bunch of vultures hovering over this poor Bennett, and since this thing is coming up pretty sizable anyways, any reason why we couldn't lend them Greenfield for a couple of days?
He's with the secretary. He'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we can make any arrangement that seems best, Mr. President.
Maybe it's better to have a little one lower down, but someone that they... trust. Who do you have besides Greenville that's good over there?
Well, we've got two or three people. We've got Sieverts. We've got this fellow, McCloskey, who has the regular briefings. He's a good, steady, able fella. We haven't got anybody that's comparable to Greenfield on his depth of knowledge of the press.
It might be, when he gets back, if it's not over tomorrow, it might be that we want him to look at it from the standpoint that you're doing an adequate job, put him in the jet start and let him fly down there.
Yeah.
And let him kind of supervise it and give him some pointers.
Right.
Just kind of like you have Cy Vance go to some of these places. Anyway, you just watch it, and I think you do very well with the press and handle them well, and I think we ought to watch this. This poor Bennett is run crazy, and I'm not going to let Bennett and Tom Mann, a bunch of little yellow pinkos, run them out of the government. Just get ready for that. I think they're dependable people, and they're loyal, and they work hard, and they just got to, they're not going to get rid of me for 4 years, and they're not going to get rid of them. So they just might as well find it out, and we play on this same team, but...
I agree. Well, let me. We don't get these things automatically here, but I'll look at it.
I'll get you a copy of it when you come over here today, or whenever we meet. You remind me, step in my office, say I want to see the things that come in about the State Department, and I'll get Jack Valenti to get them, because what they do, you as loyal as my wife. And I admire that, and I appreciate it. But I just think it's terrible that little fellas down the line would take a crack at the secretary or the undersecretary. And they do that. They do it to me. That's what drives me so damn close to all of you. You don't need anybody as long as they do your work for you. It's kind of what we say we're doing to communist flying in Santo Domingo. But I deeply resent somebody taking a word about you doing this or Dean Rush doing this. Or somebody over here running your shop.
Well, I'd love to look at that. I want to look at that. Now, one other thing, I'm having a...
This economic thing. Now, you get on that and get Goud and bear in mind how many people we got, how we could distribute it, what soup kitchens we could set up, how we could stop the riots, how we could put out the food stamp plans. Let's get something novel. And if Shultz keeps writing articles like he does, we may never be able to get a dime for Congress from them. I don't know how we can do it, but might be if you have a chance to talk to Reston or anybody of that stature, that you might remind them that this thing may eventually work out, and however it works out, we are going to have to feed these people. So let's don't get our citizens so worked up and so angry and so hating by these articles that we can't ever get anything through Congress. At the Times won't want that. And I just had a poll made, and Oliver Quayle brought in this morning, in Bergen County, New Jersey. And here's his observation. This is a Republican county, but fully 4 out of every 5 voters give the president a favorable rating. 12 times as many say excellent as say poor. There's nothing casual in the rating. It is enthusiastic. More than half who told us they voted for Barry Goldwater last autumn give the president a positive rating. We try to be cautious in our use of adjectives. In this case, we have no alternative to sensational. It must be clear from the figures the president is popular in this county. He received the vote of 60% in November. But now another 20% who did not vote for him are now willing to say he's doing a good job. Now the vote is 85-15. That's in a Republican county that Nixon got 59% in. Let me see, it gave Nixon 59%, 60, Case 64%. In Bergen County, 58% for James Mitchell against Hughes. And it is a shock now that it's joined the suburban flood to Johnson. The president received 60% of the vote here and 66% in the state in November. And he carried Senator Williams in on his coattail, Williams receiving 56% of the vote. It is of critical importance that the reader fix in his mind the date of the interviewing. On Sunday night, May the 2nd, the president talked to the nation on the Dominican Republic that necessitated his sending in Marines. This survey was done so immediately after those events, and that speech that our questionnaire included no direct questions on U.S. action in San Domingo. However, the results clearly reflect the public reaction to this event. Now, they took it in the next place, much worse Republican place. Incidentally, my vote was 66-34 against Goldwater. Then they, you see, I'm running 57-43 against Nixon. There's, Jersey City is the next one. And in Jersey City, it's 80-20.
Those are good.
No, Jersey City's 83-17. 83-17, 85-15.
Yeah, those are just unheard of.
Things. And combines 80-20. Now, so I know that it's not unpopular with American people to go in and protect our people. Now, they're distorting it, and they're saying all this communism stuff, and that they can't find any evidences of it down there and that kind of stuff. I think it's something we have to watch. But I know we're going to have to get the economic people going, so I would make them work over the weekend.
We'll get them going right away, Mr. President. Now, one other quick thing. Dean Acheson and Bob McNamara are going to be meeting with me today on this paper that we worked up with Acheson and so on an initiative on the settlement on the South Vietnamese business. What I would like to do, if you see no difficulty with it, is after we've gone over this thing, if the three of us agree on it, to send a young man on my staff who's a trained lawyer and a very bright youngster but is completely invisible in this, out to take the paper, explain it in detail to Alex and Max so we can get a reasoned reaction from them as to whether we can do
something. That's good. That's good. I wish you would find, though, look at my Vietnam speech of this week, look at my Baltimore speech, and give me something next week somewhere in some of my speeches, graduation address or something I'm making, where I can hit again on the peace theme and on the diplomatic theme. I think that these colonels are giving these briefings every day about how many bombers and how much we're doing, and we got to say something the other way to get anything in perspective, and got to give it some balance and keep it perspective.
Mr. President, this idea that we put forward in this paper on a program for reconstruction, which we get the South Vietnamese to, I think would change the atmosphere more than almost anything else. If you get a minute to glance at it over the weekend.
I wish you would. Where is it?
Well, I sent the original.
I don't ever get them. I don't get into that. That just goes down there. You better send it. Send me a copy of it right now to my desk. Just say I called up and asked for it.
Right. I'll do this.
Bye.
Thank you.